Good evening. I want to thank Pastor Waddell for the invitation that he extended to us to come such a short notice. We received the letter, and here we were answering right back. And he was mentioning October, the missions conference, and other times. And whenever you come on furlough, if you know when that is, I said, yeah, we know when that is. We're right here. We're free this Sunday. And so we call, and he said, well, we'd love to have you Sunday night, and I appreciate that, Pastor, very much. This church is dear to us because, whether you remember or not, we've been coming here for over 40 years. And when the church first was getting into Faith Promise Missions, we were right there. And it seems so hard to think that time had flown so fast, but here we are. And we thank the Lord for that, and we thank the Lord for this church and its faithfulness through the years. You've been like a clock, just faithful through the years, and that's what it takes for missionaries to stay in the mission field and do the work. It is a team effort, and we are glad that we paired up to with churches such as this that love the Lord and believe in evangelizing this world, and it's such a privilege, such a blessing to work together. I was enjoying that music. I remember that's one thing. I always had good music in this church, a music that glorifies God, honors the Lord. And that's why we sing for Him. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. The majority probably don't remember us. The last time I was asking my wife when we were here, I think it was about 10 years ago. So it's possible that you don't even remember us, but we thank you because we see our card over there in the missionary bulletin. And then when some people say, we do remember and we are praying. And so we're thankful for that. And just rejoice that the Lord allowed us this opportunity to be here in your church tonight. Pastor Waddell was saying, I'm just getting acquainted with the congregation. And we've been pastoring the church ever since we went to the field. After a little while, we started a church, Fundamental Baptist Church, and been pastoring that church, among other things. But a couple of years ago, we were helping a church about 700 miles away by the Andes Mountains. It didn't have a pastor, and we would go there once a month for part of the week. And we did that for 2 years, and that's what the Lord had us do at that time. And we were getting acquainted with the congregation. It was a small congregation, but it was a wonderful time. And how good it is that God gives us a pastor and that we can work together and be led in doing the will of God. Let me just share a little bit of our testimony, because that way we'll glorify God together. Amen. Every time Paul had a chance, he gave his testimony. If I recall correctly, three times in the book of Acts, every time he had an opportunity, he shared his testimony. I was born and raised in the city of Buenos Aires in Argentina. Now, to go to Argentina, you probably have to go, let's say, Houston, Texas, and take a flight 10 and a half hours straight south. So when people ask me about my accent, I say I'm a southerner. That's, you know, but that's where you go. When you land in the city of Buenos Aires, the country has about 44 million people. The city of Buenos Aires consists of about 14 million people. And so it gives you an idea. And the country has the shape of a rib steak, and is about a third the size of the United States. And we speak Spanish. It's a mixture of different nationalities. People that migrate from all over the world had come to Argentina, and they mixed. And it's kind of this is what you turn up with, you know. Somebody asked me, how come were you born in Buenos Aires, Argentina? I said, I don't know. My mother was there, and I couldn't help it. But they came from the Ukraine. And my mother migrated with her parents and family when she was five, and my dad, when he was 18, they met over there, and they were married, and they were Christians that loved the Lord and ministered to Slavic people, Russians and Ukrainians in Argentina. And so, and Dad was an itinerant preacher, and he will go to Uruguay and neighboring country and Paraguay and preach, and he will have evangelistic meetings, and he'll baptize people and marry people because they didn't have pastors. They had leaders in their churches because they didn't have enough pastors. And so I grew up in a Christian home, and you would think anybody who grows up in a Christian home is okay because it must be a Christian and, you know, all that. Well, I tell you, that's not necessarily the case because God doesn't have any grandchildren, only children. And so I was growing up there, and let me just say, I would go to church and be in church, participate in things like that in every service and all that, but my life wasn't the life of a Christian because I wasn't. I even got baptized, and I became a member of the church, but I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't saved. But I always wanted to come to America because as a young person, I looked to America, and I couldn't believe there was a place like this, honestly. Just beautiful in every respect. Of course, I was watching Elvis Presley movies, so, you know, that was the kind of mindset. And I came up, I wanted to come up for that. I have one, a brother that is 7 years older than I am, and he migrated by himself. And so when I wanted to migrate, my parents said, no, you're not going by yourself. We'll go with you. And that took a leave of the church where he was pastoring. And we moved to the States, migrated, but God had a purpose in that. Because one time I was staying in my brother's apartment, and I was watching a cowboy movie. And boy, I was just, as a young person, just involved in the movie, but I was restless. So that was long before the, you know, and a commercial came. I just changed the channel. Somebody was preaching the gospel. I watched it for a little bit, and I went back to the cowboy movie. Yeah, a little bit later, I just turned it back to the preaching. And I went back to the cowboy movie. Pretty soon, I just stayed with the preaching. I didn't know that much English, but I knew what he was talking about. And God worked in my heart. It wasn't long I was in my knees crying to God, have mercy on me and save me. He not only saved me, he called me to preach. And then God began to work. And my wife, Marty, at that time was in California going to school, stayed at her aunt's on the weekend, going to the same church. We began to date. We couldn't speak, converse much, but you know, young people, eye to eye talk, you know. Wow, God does wonderful things. Her aunt told her, I said, hey, he's a young fellow, you know, he's an immigrant, he doesn't know anybody, be a friend to her, to him. And but after a little while, when we got a little bit serious in that, she said, Marty, what are you doing? I mean, you know, to make a long story short, here we are. When I came to the States, I wanted to be famous, rich, have fun with the girls. God gave me a wife. We have 6 children, 24 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild. It's all the fun we can handle. So God works in mysterious ways. But he led from California out to Pennsylvania, where I went to see her, and I met her pastor, John B. Smith. He was a graduate of Midwestern Baptist College, and boy, he found out I was called to preach. But he's from West Virginia. So he said, let's see if God calls you next week. Can you imagine? I mean, I said, preacher, God has called me to preach in whatever English I could say. And he said, let's see if God calls you next week. Well, next Wednesday, for prayer meeting, we go to church, and I said, he did. And preacher had forgotten what I said. And I said, he did. He did what? He said, I said, God called me to preach. And he said, all right, tomorrow morning at 3 o'clock, I'll pick you up, and I'll take you to Bible college. And he did. And we went to Pontiac, Michigan. He enrolled us in school, got us a job at Pontiac Motors, and found a place for us to stay. We went back to Pennsylvania the same day because school wasn't started for 2 weeks. And so, I tell you, God worked every detail, and we rejoice and look back, and we've been associated. Now, pastor is in heaven right now, but I mean, for all the years we worked together, we just rejoiced and said, how could I say something like that? I said, well, God was in it. And so, praise the Lord. When I was in school, I would ask everybody to go to Argentina's missionaries. But I wasn't volunteering, you know. And I was happy with going somewhere in the States and start a church. And then God worked in my heart one day. He said, you're asking everybody, but you're not volunteering yourself. And so we said, all right, Lord, whatever you want to. And he said, okay, I want you to go back to your country. And so we are so glad that God will pick somebody like us and send us back to our people. And we've been there by the grace of God all this year. So thank God for how he works in people's lives. As I told you before, God led us to start the Fundamental Baptist Church. And we believe, like you do, in evangelizing the world. We believe in honoring Christ in our lives and walking straight and doing right and obeying God's word. And God has blessed, and our church is supporting like 15 missionary projects in different parts of the country and different parts of the world. And so that's God's work in every one of our lives. And we need to do it from wherever we are. That's our Jerusalem, from wherever we are to the rest of the world. And so God worked, and there's a man that went to start a church about 4 hours from us, north of Buenos Aires, where we are. There's another man went 3 hours west of Buenos Aires, where we are. And there's another man that went southwest about 14-hour drive or something to get there and start a church. And so I wish I could tell you evangelize the whole world, the whole Argentina, but no, we haven't. But I tell you one thing, everybody we come in contact, we want to share the word of God with them and the gospel. Because God changes lives, amen? He's changed our lives. He called us, and we serve in him, and so thank God for that privilege. You know, if one time we were inviting a Mexican evangelist to come to Buenos Aires to preach among our churches there, and we asked him for a testimony, and he wrote a little testimony, and this is what he started the letter saying. If anyone has a testimony, it's by the grace of God. And I thought, how simple, how profound. It's God's grace working in our lives. And that makes me think about the Apostle Paul. You know, how I saw he persecuted the church. And boy, how God changed his life. And only God can do that. Because he is a specialist in changing lives. He changed our lives. And we came for one purpose. I sometimes tell folks, you know, I had my own ideas, my own goals, my own plans. God ruined them all, you know. I mean, he just had his own plan, and how good it is to find it, and how good it is to do it, to follow in the Lord's footsteps. I remember coming here to this church, and my wife and I, God blessed us, like I said, with 6 children. At that time, we had I don't know how many we have, but they were little, and she was teaching them at home. And she said, honey, I don't think I can do it. You know, the church and the children and the work and all that we do, and I need help. And I said, honey, all I can tell you is pray. Ask God to help you. Send somebody to help you. Well, I was coming this way, and we stopped here in Godfrey, and Pastor Oni, I said, if somebody wants to talk to you after church. I said, really? Yeah. Who is she? I said, Deborah George. You remember that? And he said, yeah. And so we know Deborah. We knew her family from Argentina and that. And she'd been teaching in the school here. And she said, do you know anybody that could use a missionary teacher, you know, a teacher to go and teach missionary children over in Argentina? I said, Deborah, you're our answer to prayer. Specific. You know, I delight in that because God answers specific prayers. You know, when we're ambiguous as to what we pray, we don't know that God answered or not. Oh, yeah, maybe. But if we say specifically, this is our need, and God answers it, praise the Lord. Look at that, what God did. And so when Deborah was happy to find out. We talked to her and said, let's try it for a year or two. I mean, you know, we don't know if it's going to work. You want to come down there? We wanted to start a Christian school, and we didn't know how it was going to go, or at least, you know, a nucleus to teach the missionary children. And so we tried first year, tried second year, and she ended up being there 15 years teaching our kids, everybody's kids. But she, instead of everyone bringing their children to one place, she was going like a circuit riding teacher. And she would teach the kids and leave, you know, work for them to do and that. And so that's how it worked out. And then we found out she fell in love and married this fellow, and they're missionaries in Central America now, and how we thank God for that. So, folks, it's so nice when you think about what God has done through the years and how God has blessed us and used us and crossed our lives together, and we're workers together for God. Amen? Yes. All right. I was mentioning Apostle Paul and what a change he experienced in his life. And I'd like to call your attention to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. By the way, our work is a work of faith. Amen? God tells us that we're saved by faith, that we walk by faith, and if we draw back or look back, you know, that's no good. We go forward. And I thank God that when we were just starting, this church believed in us and helped us. We were at risk, man. We still are. It was so naive and so, oh, God is so good. God is so good. But God delights in work and let people say, you mean that fellow? And God will work in that life? And I'm thinking about Saul, persecuting the church. And here we're reading in Acts chapter 26, verse 9, and it says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That was his mission. What is your mission statement, Saul? I want to do everything I can to stop Jesus. And which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and in many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. I always wonder how much light must that be in at midday to have such a light. And that's our God, who's light and creator of the light. And when when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard the voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the priests, the pricks. And I said, who art thou, O Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Interesting. Saul was persecuting the church. He says, you persecuted me. You know, he took it personally. He is the head. We are the body. And anything you do to the church, if it's good, you do it unto Jesus. If it's bad, you do it unto Jesus. And so, but rise and stand upon thy feet. And I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles to unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And so here we find the persecutor. Now they want to kill him. And the table turned around. And having therefore, he says in verse 22, obtained help from God, helped of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none of other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And God impressed my heart at reading this passage of Scripture about a couple of these verses where Paul states what God did and what God commissioned him to do, because I think we find help for our lives. First of all, he said, verse 21, for this causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And I tell you, he didn't expect that, perhaps. Although sometimes when you know, you do things to people, they'll get back with you, get back to you. And that's what was happening in his life. But he's given testimony and relating how God spared him from that, because God had a plan, God had a purpose for him. And he says that in verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And folks, let me say, our help comes from the Lord. Amen? If he hadn't helped us, we wouldn't be here today. If he hadn't had mercy on us, I'll be in hell crying out for a drop of water. And so thank God for God's help. Thank God for God's mercy. We have obtained help of God. Now, how many times we have to cry out to ask God to help us? I came across that passage of Scripture where in the Old Testament it says, you know, I think it was Jehoshaphat, surrounded by the enemies, and the end was near. I mean, it's like, and he cried out to God. It says, in us, there is no strength. You know, we don't know what to do, but to thee we lift our eyes. Amen. And so I found a great principle there, and I had to apply it many times in my life. Lord, I don't have strength. I don't know what to do, but have mercy on us. And you know what? God loves that, because we're worshiping him when we say, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. I don't have the strength that it takes to carry out whatever it is or what is that we are facing. And so our help comes from the Lord. And if we continue unto this day, it's only by the grace of God. Whether it's you're a child and you know the Lord, or whether it's a young person or adult, nobody has assurance that you'll be alive tomorrow. And if you're here, we're here by the grace of God. Somebody asked us about our mission statement or, you know, purpose or what. And I just say, I want to be where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. And, you know, we believe that this is that time when God wanted us to be here. We were planning or thinking about coming last year, and that we couldn't make it physically and so forth. But the time now, we can see how God was working, every detail. And it's such a blessing when you come to churches like this and you find people love God, love missionaries, love missions, that are faithful and have stayed by the stuff and continue on. It's such an encouragement and a blessing. You know, and so we thank the Lord. We want to do the same thing there in Argentina. And God has helped us to remain there until this day. And so I'm thinking about the hours. We're 2 hours ahead in Argentina. That's the only thing we're ahead in Argentina compared to the States, believe me. And we're 2 hours ahead, and the church goes on. And the preaching is going on. Praise the Lord. Our son is an assistant pastor, and he's working with two other able young men, and they carry on the work, and we can be here now in the States during this time. And so that's what we are to do. We're to train, we're to prepare others to continue on the work, right? It's not my work, although we participate and we work, but it's God's work. And we all need to get in, and we all need to do our part, and the work must go on. And so Paul said, having obtained, therefore obtained, help of God, I continue unto this day. And he's telling this King Agrippa. He's giving testimony. God said, you will be a witness to me before great, before Gentiles, before the Jews. And here he is giving testimony. And that's our activity. Verse 22, it says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. What a privilege we have to share with other people what God has done for us. What a privilege it is to sow the seed. You know, I'm really excited about the power of the Word of God. Because it changed my life. When I see somebody, you know, has got a hard case, you know, it's a hard case or something like that, it makes me think, well, God worked in me. God changed my life, and he had mercy on me, and he can do it in someone else. And then it comes to mind the scripture that says that his word will not come back unto him void, but it will do what he sent it to do. And, you know, that excites me because I said, I give the word of God or share the gospel with somebody, a gospel tract or what, and I said, I wonder what God is going to do with that word, with that seed. And one day in heaven, I think we'll be a surprise because somebody will say, you don't remember me or you might not know me from Adam, but one day you went through that Wendy's or something and you share the gospel with me. You know, or you stopped at a gas station and you shared a gospel tract with me. I remember when John Smith, the man that helped me go to Bible school, I went out with him the first time, and he would go to a gas station, and he had tracts, and he pulled out a tract and give it to the person, share a few words. I'm watching. I'm just a new convert, been saved a little while. I said, one time, and then he does it again, and did it again. I said, I guess that's what you're supposed to do. You know, and I copied it. And I, by the grace of God, keep doing that. And I remember he said one day, Al, says somebody that had a wreck with a motorcycle, that I need to go see him in the hospital. You like to go with me? I said, sure. And so we go to the hospital, and he talks to the men a little bit. And he turns around to me and he says, Al, tell him what the Lord did for you. Like this. I mean, he just threw me into the deep part of the pool, like, whew! And I gave him my testimony. Now, that might not be the way they tell you to do in Bible school or whatever, but I tell you, we need to tell people about Jesus. We're not going to convert him. We're not going to save him. We're not going to change him. But God's word can and will if they believe it. And so, praise the Lord. Witnessing both the small and great. We try to share the gospel everyone we can. And sometimes God gives opportunities to share with people that are maybe in the newspapers or on the TV or whatever. We had a few occasions like that and happened to be in a place and in a plane. Here's this guy who's on TV all the time. Everybody's coming. Hey, can you sign me? Give me an autograph or something like that. I said, hey, I'm thinking, oh, what I have? God's simple plan of salvation. So I get the tract and I give it to him and said, would you mind giving me your autograph? Please sign this. Oh, thank you. Good. Here, I'd like to share this with you. Amen. You know. Because I was glad to meet him and see him there and whatever, but he would be more glad if he come to know Christ one day when he is in eternity and say, boy, you know, we met boxers that were famous in restaurants and stuff like that. And I delighted to go, excuse me, hey, seen you on TV or whatever, and here's a little something for you. So God gives us opportunities. And we need to be faithful. You know, we need to be like the mailman and deliver the letters. Deliver the word. Deliver the word. I don't know anyone here that can't do that. You might be shy. You might be awkward. You say, I'm a woman or I'm a child or whatever. I said, God will use you if you let him. You know, and so two things I say. It's a tragedy, almost. Is go to West Virginia and forget your hanky, your handkerchief. I don't know why God works in services many times. We're over there, and we end up crying and just rejoicing and blessed. And honestly, I forgot once or twice the handkerchief, and I said, wow. Another thing is run out of tracks. When you have somebody there, and you want to, you know, leave something for them. The other day we were in, what was the place? It was Ravenswood, West Virginia. We went up, God enabled us to go from Oklahoma City on up through all different places. And we went through Ohio, we went through West Virginia and Pennsylvania on up to Maine and so forth. And we're in Ravenswood, West Virginia at a Wendy's and gave the girl. It wasn't very busy. We gave the girl a tract, and she's reading it. Sometimes you give people a tract and just leave that. She's reading the whole thing. I'm telling my wife, she's reading the whole thing. I'm excited. Say, God can work in her heart. And we're eating there, and here come in three Spanish-speaking people and sit in a booth there or in a table next to us, and they're talking in Spanish, and my ears just go, you know, like a radar, like that, capturing what they're saying. And so pretty soon, I go over there and introduce myself, and I said, hey, I heard you speaking Spanish, and I have something I want to share with you. I actually share the last one. I don't even have one here, but we have Spanish calendars with the gospel in John 3:16 and so forth. And he introduced himself. There were Mexican folk that work across the Ohio River raising tomatoes, and they were harvesting and so forth. And so we were able to give him the word of God. Said, this is from Buenos Aires, Argentina, all the way from there. Do you think that's just by chance? I believe that God has appointed time for us where he wants us to be and sow the seed. And just like they plant tomatoes and they expect a harvest and they got a harvest, I expect a harvest. I know God says he will bring forth fruit through his seeds. And so praise the Lord. I just want to encourage you folks. Let's be like what God told Paul to do and what he was doing. He was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was to give testimony. He was witnessing both to small and great. Sometimes God allows us to be in situations we wouldn't want to be. Accidents, court situations. Why does he allow you to be there? Maybe it's because if you weren't there, the gospel wouldn't get there. You ever thought of that? Lord, why am I going through this? Because I need a witness right there. Let's be faithful to God. He was. Our help comes from God. Our activity is to witness to small and great. And our limits, we find also in verse 22 when it says, witnessing to both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. Praise the Lord, God tells us what we need to say. Amen? It's right here. You never go wrong sharing the word of God. Don't give more than that. Don't come up with your own ideas or stuff like that. Don't let anything out because everything is God-given and it's got a purpose and a plan. And so we can give it with confidence because it's not our word. It's God's word. And his word is sharper than two-edged swords, and it goes into right into the heart, and it divides and it shows and expounds and brings conviction. The Holy Spirit works in people's lives, and he can do the work that we cannot do. So get off that burden to say, you know, this person's so hard, he's not going to listen to me and all that. Just give the word. Just tell them what God says. Share the gospel with them. and let God do the rest. Because he does the saving. And so our limits say none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And so we stick to that, stick to the word of God, give the message. And what is our message? Well, our message, verse 23, says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people, unto the Gentiles. You know, the disciples were surprised when Christ said, I will build my church. And I said, oh, great, we're going to build a church. He said, yeah, but I got to go to Jerusalem and die. No, you can't do that. Nobody goes and dies first and then tries to build something. You build and then you die. Not God. He died first and he built. But that's God's plan. And this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. We don't understand, and Peter tries to say, no, Lord, let it be far from thee, you know. I recall hearing in a tape, audio tape, about two children that were in a theater, and they were in an Easter presentation of Christ's crucifixion. And the little brother got compassion and felt bad. And he yelled when they were going to crucify Christ, says, no, no. And his older brother says, shut up. He says, if not, we all going to die, go to hell. That seems raw or what in children's things, but the truth is, if he hadn't done it, we'd be done. But God loves us, and he cared for us, and he sent his son to die for us. You think he'll send any one of us to go somewhere else, to another country, to do what he wants us to do? Of course he will. He showed us the example. He showed us his love, and he showed us his commitment. And he came from heaven to this earth, and now he wants us to go and do the same. Jesus says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So maybe God is not calling you to go to Argentina or some other part of the world. He's calling you to go to this area, Alton, Godfrey, Illinois, whatever. You know, we can do that. As we are faithful here, you pray for us. We'll be faithful wherever God sends us, or every missionary you support, to be faithful to God and share the message that Christ, he had to suffer. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Amen? God is alive. Our Lord is risen from the dead. And so we can talk about a risen Savior. And we don't have religion. You know, it said the difference between religion and salvation. We don't try to sell religion to people. We try to present Christ to them. And he is salvation. He is life. And so, just like he conquered death for every one of us, he'll give us life as we believe in him. And to show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. The people that sat in darkness saw great light, the scripture says. I was just thinking when I was in school, boy, and I was asking everybody to go as missionaries, and I wasn't volunteering or offering myself to go, and somebody came to the school, a missionary. I know Bob Hughes from Philippines. He was a serviceman that had been in the Philippines and then came back to the States, and God called him, and he went back to the Philippines. And he came by the school as we were studying over there, and he said, use that verse in Ezekiel, I think it's 3:15 or 3:20. He said, I sat where they sat. He used that phrase. I sat where they sat. And God used that to speak to my heart. And I said, if he sat where they sat, I sat where they sat. I've been there. I know what it is. Thank the Lord for the churches in America. Amen? Amen. There are many churches, many places. One city has many churches in that. It wasn't so in Argentina. And when I was thinking about it, I said, hey, we need the gospel over there. If God will use us, that's what we want to do. Take the light. I think God wants the light to go everywhere. The devil wants to shut off the light here. And, you know, for churches to lose their testimony or Christians just not to live for God, but boy, we need light. We need light. In Buenos Aires, we had a lot of lights going out all the time. We had a bad administration. There was poor maintenance and things like that. And so lights go off. And in a city situation like where we live, house to house, you know, city all around, there's 14 million people, 20 miles from the heart of the city, and yet city all around us. It's massive, folks. The worst thing could happen is light go off. And the first thing you ask yourself, is it us or is it everybody? You know? And so pretty soon somebody will go over the fence or the wall and say, "Hey, neighbor, do you have light?" And he said, "No, we don't have light either." You know, so it's everybody and stuff like that. God impressed my heart to write a little tract, said, "Neighbor, do you have light? You have light." And it's been very effective because some people came to know the Lord. They gave testimonies that came to know Christ through it because he is our light. And until we come to know him, we're in darkness. And God wanted to send Paul to bring the light to those who were in darkness. If the lights were to go off and we're still daytime, but if it were to go off and it was night, we will right away say, "Somebody get us some light here, please." And so it is with the folk around the world. They need the light of the gospel. Let's all work together so they get it. But let me tell you something. Greatest tragedy would be to be in America. The greatest tragedy would be to be in a church like this one, where you hear the gospel once and again, and you hear the word of God being preached, and you think, "Oh, but I belong to a Christian family. I'm a child. You know, my parents are Christians and all that." And you think, "I'm okay." You know, if a heathen somewhere that never heard about Christ, nobody ever talked to him about Jesus, goes to hell, you'll say, "Well, he never heard." But think about the torment of a person that heard it once and again and again and again and never responded to Christ. I beg you in Christ's name, if you're here in this church and never received Jesus, whether you're a young person, teenager, even an adult, don't delay it. Christ wants to come into your heart and give light, and your eyes will be open, and you begin to see what it is to be a Christian. Those of us who received him can recommend him. He changed our lives. Amen? God, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Glory to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the blessing.